Hi, this is the March 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of pilot Amelia Earhart standing next to her plane, and the headline reads, "Mystery Solved? Amelia Earhart Vanished Without a Trace More Than 85 Years Ago. Have Explorers Found Her Plane?" History, mystery. Vanished. For decades, people have wondered what happened to Amelia Earhart. Will a new image finally offer clues? As you read, think about why does Amelia Earhart continue to fascinate people? Words to know. Aviator, noun, the pilot or operator of an aircraft. Sonar, noun, a technology that uses sound waves to detect the location of underwater objects. On July 2, 1937, Amelia Earhart was on her way to making history. She was about three-quarters of the way through a journey that would make her the first woman to fly around the world. But she never made it. Her plane vanished that day, and Earhart was never heard from again. More than 85 years later, exactly what happened to the famous pilot remains one of history's greatest mysteries. But we could be one step closer to solving it. A group of explorers say they may have found Earhart's missing plane. Without a trace. Earhart was a pioneer in flight at a time when few women flew airplanes. In 1932, she became the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She was one of the most famous people of the time, kind of like Taylor Swift is today, says Dorothy Cochrane. She's an aviation expert at the National Air and Space Museum. Earhart wanted to circle the globe. In May 1937, she and navigator Fred Noonan took off from Oakland, California. By early July, they had completed much of their journey. They had reached the island of New Guinea in the Pacific Ocean. Their next stop would be more than 2,500 miles away on Howland Island. But something went terribly wrong. The sky was cloudy. Earhart and Noonan had trouble spotting the tiny island. After about 20 hours of flying, the plane's fuel was running low. Earhart sent urgent radio messages to a U.S. Coast Guard ship. Her final message was received at about 8:43 a.m. on July 2nd. Earhart's disappearance shocked the world. The press was covering the flight, and big crowds greeted her everywhere, Cochrane says. Then she was just gone. Searching for clues. Search teams spent 2 weeks looking for Earhart, Noonan, or their plane. No one knew exactly where they had disappeared. Searchers covered about 250,000 square miles, an area about the size of Texas. They had no luck. Over the years, people have come up with many theories about what happened to the pilot. But Cochrane and many other experts believe there is only one explanation. The plane ran out of fuel, crashed into the ocean, and sank. Still, the mystery has led people to search for signs of Earhart for decades. In January, an underwater exploration group called Deep Sea Vision announced that it may have located her plane. Using sonar and an unmanned underwater vehicle, the crew searched more than 5,000 square miles of the Pacific Ocean floor near Howland Island. They spotted an object they believe is shaped like the long-lost plane. While some experts say the object could be Earhart's plane, most aren't convinced just yet. The Deep Sea Vision team plans to investigate further. It could be years before the crew proves anything for sure. In the meantime, the mystery of Amelia Earhart lives on. It's a great mystery, Cochrane says. Someday we'll find something. I'm hopeful. Did Amelia Earhart survive? One theory is that Earhart and Noonan were captured by the Japanese military after crash landing. Some people say... Did Amelia Earhart survive? One theory is that Earhart and Noonan were captured by the Japanese military after crash landing. This has never been confirmed. Some people think Earhart landed on a small island called Nikumuro-o. Radio operators reported hearing distress calls from the area. Researchers have found artifacts there, including a piece of metal possibly from a plane, but none have been proven to be Earhart's. Life science. Adopt an axolotl. These unique amphibians are endangered, but experts have come up with a way to help them survive. As you read, think about why are axolotls important to researchers? Words to know. Regenerate, verb, to grow again, especially to replace a lost or damaged part by growing a new one. Refugees, noun, plural, places that provide shelter or protection. You've seen them in video games like Minecraft. They're the stars of countless TikTok videos. In Mexico, their native country, these celebrity salamanders even appear on money. Axolotls seem to be just about everywhere. But there is one place where axolotls are hard to find, the wild. Despite their popularity, these amphibians are nearly extinct. Because of habitat loss, pollution, and predators, wild axolotls are now fighting for survival. Scientists are working to help keep these unique creatures from dying out, and they're counting on the public to help by adopting axolotls. You can't bring your new pet home. These adoptions are virtual, but you can help save its life. A home in danger. With their frilly gills, shimmering tails, and smiley faces, axolotls have won over many fans in recent years. Axolotls keep their youthful features as they grow older, thanks to their, quote, awe, quote, unquote, factor, and video game appearances. Axolotls have become an increasingly popular choice as pets. Axolotls are more than just cute faces, though. When they get hurt, they can regenerate limbs, organs, and even parts of their brains. Scientists are studying this superpower in the hopes of one day finding a way for it to help humans. That's just one reason researchers are racing to save axolotls. Scientists from the National Autonomous University of Mexico, UNAM, are focusing on Lake Xochimilco. Located near Mexico City, this lake and its canals are the only place where axolotls still live in the wild. Lake Xochimilco had once been an axolotl paradise, brimming with fish, tadpoles, and other prey. But beginning in the early 1900s, the population of Mexico City began to grow. As the population boomed, the lake became polluted. Builders drained and paved over much of the wetlands to make way for roads and buildings. And the government added new fish like carp and tilapia to the lake. The fish feasted on axolotl eggs. A virtual solution. The UNAM team is working with local farmers to create refuges for axolotls. For centuries, farmers have tended chinampas. These floating farms provide food and shelter for axolotls. At the ends of canals between chinampas, researchers have installed mesh cages that keep predators out. The cages contain native plants and volcanic rock that help filter pollution from the water. UNAM is able to pay for this work, thanks in part to donations from its virtual Adopt an Axolotl program. People get to choose an axolotl, name it, and receive a certificate with their pet's photo. Wild axolotls are usually dark colors. Diana Laura Vasquez Mendoza heads the program. She hopes the public's fascination with axolotls will help save the species. Axolotls are in danger of extinction, Vasquez Mendoza says, but you can do something. Axolotls and the Aztecs. Aztec people settled in what is now central Mexico beginning in the 12th century. Their empire thrived for about 200 years. In Aztec mythology, Tzolotl was a god with the head of a dog. He turned himself into an axolotl to escape danger, but was caught. He was trapped in this form and cursed to swim in Lake Xochimilco forever. Aztec people believed axolotls carried the spirit of Tzolotl and had the power to heal the sick. Sports news. Breaking the ice. On January 1st, hockey fans packed the stands at the Matamy Athletic Center in Toronto, Canada. They were there to see the puck hit the ice in the first game of the Professional Women's Hockey League, PWHL. Six teams are battling it out in the PWHL. Three are from the United States and three are from Canada. Compared with players in past women's leagues, those in the PWHL get paid more. They also have more chances to be seen by bigger audiences. I feel very grateful to be a part of a league that supports its players as much as this one does, says Taylor Heiss. She's a forward on PWHL Minnesota. Heiss loves seeing girls at her games holding signs that read, quote, her story, end quote, instead of, quote, history, end quote. And she enjoys signing autographs after each game. To be something that young girls get to look up to has been an honor for me, Heiss says. She hopes the PWHL will inspire the next generation of young athletes. When I was about 9 or 10 and I realized hockey was my first passion, there wasn't a professional league for women in the U.S., she says. I'm living the dream right now. Taylor Heiss scored a goal in her first game with PWHL Minnesota. Say cheese. Humans aren't the only ones who take selfies. Two rats named Arthur and Augustin learned to take them too, with the help of French photographer Augustin Linier. Linier put the rats in a tall, clear box with a camera attached to it. When they pressed a button inside the box, the rats were rewarded with sugar. At the same time, the camera took a photo. The rats' selfies were then displayed on a screen in front of them. Before long, Arthur and Augustin continued to press the button even when they didn't get any sugar as a reward. They ended up taking hundreds of photos. Linier says seeing the rats take selfies was magical. Debate it. Should you pay more for sugary drinks? In Boulder, Colorado, you'll pay more for your favorite sports drink. It's one of several U.S. cities where people are charged an extra tax when they buy soda and other sugary drinks. The tax is usually a penny or two per ounce, so the price of a regular-sized can of soda goes up by as much as 24 cents. The tax is meant to discourage people from buying drinks that are loaded with sugar. A recent study found that the plan is working. In 5 cities with the extra tax, sales of sweetened drinks dropped by 33%. Experts say that's good news. Drinking too many sugary beverages increases the risk of developing health problems. But other people think adding an extra tax on sugary drinks won't do much to improve people's health. They argue that it's better to encourage Americans to make lifestyle changes, like exercising more often. Here's what 2 of our readers think. Kinsley Schlomer from Arkansas says yes, sugary beverages aren't healthy, but a survey found that about 6 in 10 kids drink at least one sweetened beverage a day. Just one serving of a sugary drink daily could put you at higher risk for heart disease, according to the American Heart Association. That's scary. An extra tax would make sugary drinks more expensive, so fewer people might buy them. People might choose better options, like water, and get healthier in the process. Thomas King from New York says no. If the government wants people to be healthier, forcing them to pay more for sweetened drinks isn't the answer. After all, many other treats are unhealthy. So singling out sugary drinks doesn't make sense. Why not lower the prices of healthy foods instead? Also, teaching people how to build healthy habits would be more helpful than higher taxes. For example, people could be encouraged to take daily walks. What do you think? Highlight 2 pieces of evidence to support your opinion. Use that evidence to write an argument essay, then cast your vote at scholastic.com/SN4. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic and map about Amelia Earhart's final flight. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the March 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen. Till next time.